Excellent. I want to thank everybody for coming today. My name is Garnet Yates. I work with the U.S. Joint Forces Command. And what we do is we take a look at the problems that the government is facing and try to find out what kind of technologies we can leverage to solve those problems. My colleague Boyd Fletcher wasn't able to make the trip today, but he's been really the primary in this project since the inception. He really came up with the idea of using an open source product to solve the problem we're going to look at today. Redaction of documents. What is redaction? If we look at the dictionary definition of it, we see it as to select or adapt for publication. And that's the problem that we were looking at to try to solve. Looking at more of the details of the problem, we're looking for a safe and efficient way to clean documents to transfer them between either different government organizations, so you got different classification levels. You want to make sure you don't release information that shouldn't have been released to the other organizations, or sharing with external parties. You may want to share with non-governmental organizations, and same thing. You don't want to release information that is either classified or sensitive. Some of the things we were looking for in a solution, it has to exist with an existing integrated office suite. The greatest tool in the world is no good if the documents that you wanted to share don't work with it. So our solution had to work with an existing office suite. We wanted to be OS independent. We wanted to also support multiple file types. We also wanted to let the different sites specify what kind of information they wanted to clean out of their documents. And we wanted it to be a standards-based document or a standards-based solution, but still be able to work with. So why is this a problem? Why is redaction necessary? We use the term WYSIWYG. It's kind of a takeoff on WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. We want to make sure that if you print a document and you review it and you go to share it with somebody else, that what you looked at in that printed version is what you shared. No extra information, no stuff later on to come back and say, oh no, we didn't mean to release that, we didn't see it in the document. And there's all sorts of organizations, not just the government, that cares about this. For governments, you've got classified information you don't want to release, and you also have personal information. The same with businesses. Businesses have lots and lots of personal information, both on their employees and on their customers. And you as an employee, you as a customer, don't want your information being released without your consent. So we want to help governments and businesses avoid that. For businesses, you have proprietary information. You've got information that if your competitors were to have it, they could undercut you. Charities are concerned about it. Again, charities have a large list of personal information. You may not want the world knowing how much you give to what charities or the personal information they have. You may not want that shared with everyone else. And the same for individuals. If you create a document and you've got your personal information in it, maybe your address, maybe any kind of information you have in there, you don't want to release it unintentionally to the world. So this is a problem that governments, businesses, charities, and individuals all care about. Now you could just take a document, a Word document or a presentation, copy all the text out and paste it into a text document and share it. And then you know what you see is what you shared. But that's kind of worthless, especially when you look at presentations and spreadsheets. A lot of the meaning of the document is in the format. You know, the images that go with it, the way it's laid out on the page. And if you can't carry that format with you, then you lose a lot of the meaning of the document. It's kind of like if you write something down, you lose all the nonverbal communication of the message. So we want to keep that formatting. Here we have a sample document. This is one that at first glance may look clean, okay to release to the world. But actually there's a lot of hidden things in here that may not have meant to release. So here's some of the hidden data. The small text there, the first circle, There's text there, but the font is set so small you really can't tell what it is. So you don't know what you're releasing there. The next, we've got an example of where we've blacked out text, but you can copy paste the text and read it. It's still viewable to anybody. Next, we have metadata. Documents can store, here we've got the author, subject, and keywords. There's all sorts of information that can be stored in the metadata of a document that you have no idea about if you're not the one that created the document and put that information in there. Another big one is red lines or track changes. When you're editing office documents, you can turn on a feature that tracks your changes, so you delete text, it's still in the document. And you may not want that deleted text to be distributed out. You may just want your final version and not all your edits to go out when you release the document. So some of the other different types of information that we're looking at to pull out of these documents before we share them. We already talked about the track changes or the red lines. There's also embedded objects. If you take a spreadsheet embedded into a Word document, there may be all sorts of information that just scanning the Word document you're not aware of. Metadata, we talked about that one. User-defined fields is another type of metadata. Internally saved versions, that's a big one. That's even bigger than the track changes and the red lines. You can have complete previous versions of your document stored within the document. And there can be all sorts of stuff you didn't mean to release that went out. You can have images that hide text. That's another place where you could release information you didn't mean to. We looked at text coloring. Headers and footers. This can be a problem because unless you print the document, they may not be visible when you're looking at it in electronic form. Hyperlinks, maybe all sorts of information in a hyperlink you embed into a document. Could be your user ID, even your password, if you pasted that into a document or into a hyperlink. And spreadsheets have the ability to completely hide entire worksheets, columns, or rows. So you as a user, you go to look at your spreadsheet to send it out, and you don't realize that there's a couple of rows or even a whole sheet in there hidden, and you release information you didn't mean to. Also, documents coming into your organization, there's ways for people to put malicious content into those documents. Macros and viruses are a really common one. That's the one that most people are worried about. You can even embed things into images and embedded objects that we talked about. So what does this problem have to do with OpenOffice, open standards? Okay. The technologies we chose to deal with this problem was the OpenOffice and Open Document formats. And the reason that we chose those is OpenOffice, it's a commercially supported product. It's got really great support from Sun. It's a mature, strong product. It works well. And it can read and write many different types of Office documents. You can read and write Microsoft Office, Open Document, Star Office. It can even output in the PDF format, which is very useful. Again, we talked about a huge developer base, great support. We're able to leverage Java, a lot of capability in the Java platform. So OpenOffice allowed us to leverage some of that capability from Java. It's a standard-based file format. So we're going to look in a minute and see how much easier it is to take a standards-based file format, look at it, and understand what's going on versus a proprietary binary format. It's also a cross-platform tool. It's, we found that another strength is we can use the OpenOffice on a server side if we want. They have APIs to allow you to control the application and to use that on a server-side application as well as on the client side. And low cost. It's free. Pursuant to the licensing agreement. So open document format. Anybody actually look inside of an open document file, the file format, looked at it before? Okay, a lot of people. So you're familiar with this. Now, here's an example of one of the files that we have worked with. And the open document format is just an archive file with other files inside of it. If you look at the top, we've got the content.xml file. That's the actual content of your document. Then we got the meta XML file, which is the metadata that accompanies your document. Anybody want to guess what the version and version list entries are? It's the saved versions. We talked earlier, you can save complete previous versions of your document. That's where those live inside the archive. And you see we've also got a pictures directory, which is the images in the file. Now, just in the last couple minutes, we took a look at this document, the internals of the document, and we've got a really good feel of what's inside this document. We haven't even delved into it, looked at the XML, but we got a good idea of where things are and what's in the document. And that's one of the strengths of the Open Document format. If you just had a binary file you were trying to look through and figure out what's in there, you couldn't have posted up on a slide, looked at it in a few minutes, and had an idea of what was going on. You'd have to completely understand the binary format, write a program to parse it out. So that's one of the real strengths of the Open Document format. So what are we developing to deal with the problem based on the Open Office and Open Standards? We've created an application for cleaning large numbers of documents. This is the user interface is written in Java, and it uses OpenOffice as its engine to convert any documents that it brings in into Open Document format so they can then understand those documents and pull out information as it needs to. That same application capability we have an OpenOffice plugin. So if you're editing a document in OpenOffice, the plugin's installed, it's just a menu option to clean that document if you want to release it. One of the things that we haven't developed yet but we're looking at, we're talking with Sun to collaborate on this, is the classification labeling wizard. This is more for governmental organizations, would allow them to, given the content of a document, automatically label it so they go to distribute it, they know they have the correct labels on the document. And then finally, there's a server-side component, secure, save, valid data. What that does, since the Open Document format is an open standard, we can set up a server that we release the documents through. It can open the documents, look at them, and verify that the information that needed to be taken out was taken out. So it's just an extra check for people releasing documents to make sure that, yeah, the information that I took out was really removed. And again, that's based on the strength of that open standard. We can look at the document and know what's in it. So we can verify that it's been cleaned before we release it to the world. This is what the plugin looks like. We're going to have more detailed screenshots later on, but just a quick. The OpenOffice plugin architecture is really nice because you can create extensions to OpenOffice, and it looks just like any other piece of OpenOffice. The menus, the screens, the user interface, it all blends in. So it looks good. It's more professional looking. You don't launch another dialog box and say, oh, that's a third party. It has the look and feel of the application. This is a standalone application, the application for processing multiple documents. You can see it's a fairly straightforward interface. It does a lot for the user. They can select an original document or an entire directory to clean. Then they also have to select a location for the process files to be written out to. The process that we use for cleaning the documents is completely non-destructive. The original documents are left as is. The users can output their processed documents. They can either keep the original format, they can specify it to be Microsoft or Open Document format or PDF. They can label the classification for the entire document. And at the bottom, you've got status information. So as the program's running, you can see what's going on. The server-side verification piece, we talked about that a little earlier. For the technology, a lot of the same technologies are used on the server side and the client side. We do a lot of XML style sheets to pull out the things we want to take out of the documents. There are a few of the few things that we really couldn't do well in style sheets. For example, analyzing the background and foreground colors of the text in the document. There's really good libraries and algorithms out that W3C has put out for comparing colors, and those are much better done in Java than in XSLT. But that's one of the few things we couldn't do in XSLT. Most of the rest of it, we could. Again, with it being an open standard, we were able to leverage existing technologies to do a lot of this work. We talked a little bit about, we use OpenOffice as the engine for converting our documents between different formats. In OpenOffice, there's something called UNO, Universal Network Objects, and that lets you drive the application behind the scenes. So you've got all the power of this Office tool that you can harness completely behind the scenes and to work on your documents. So that's huge. The ability to switch back and forth between different formats, we found that for our users, that was a big selling point. If you come to somebody and you say, hey, we got this great new tool, this new technology, we want you to try it out. But you got to throw away the tool you're used to using to use it. A lot of resistance. People don't like to do that. But with OpenOffice allowing us to move the formats back and forth, put people at ease. They're like, oh, okay, my original files don't get destroyed, all my applications I'm used to are still there, sure, I'll try. So that was big for us. That really reduced the resistance. UNO is also programming language independent. So we used XML and XSLT to process the files, Java, and then open document format. And we looked at the format already to see how that can be easily understood. Policy configuration. We wanted the application to be configurable per site. Some organizations, they may want to remove all the images out of their documents before they release them. Other organizations may just want to make sure that there's no track changes or saved versions in the document before they release it. So the options for the application, both the plugin and the standalone application, is driven off a text file. We'll take a look at that in the next slide. So basically, each one of the options for the items you can remove out of a document corresponds to an entry in this configuration file. You set it to yes or no. Yes, it's required. The user can't then opt out of removing that stuff. So it gives a lot of configurability to the different sites that want to use this. When it installs by default, you have complete control over what you can remove out of the documents. You can see at the bottom, there's an entry there. I see the W3C standard that we use for our color comparison between the text and the background. So if you're curious about that algorithm, you can go to that website to check it out. This is an options dialog from the application. And this ties back to the configuration file we were just talking to. I don't know if you can see or not, but the top option, the remove metadata, is disabled. So it's checked and disabled. That one's required. So that's what it looks like if you require an option to be removed. The rest of them are the user can choose to or not to remove those different items there. You see some of the different things that we removed that we haven't talked about. PowerPoint, presentation slide notes, comments, and bookmarks. We also do a dirty word check so you can look for certain keywords in the document if you don't want those to be released. And again, at the bottom, you can make the hidden slides, columns, and rows in a sheet visible. That configuration file could be pushed out through Active Directory if you have an entire site that you want to configure it a certain way. So we've talked a bit about what we're doing right now. I want to let you know what we're not doing yet, some of the problems we haven't been able to crack. We don't do steganography yet. That's the hiding of images within other images. There's algorithms to defeat that problem, but they don't work with some of the formats that we've encountered in the files. Hidden objects, if you have a picture and you drag it over some text, that turns out to be really tough to solve with the open document format. And the reason for that is the text within an open document format, there's no information on geographically where that lives on the screen. because it's all displayed at runtime. It depends on what you've got above it in the document. So that one,
very difficult. And we also haven't determined yet how to detect
information in cells and spreadsheets that say way to the right or way down
below all the rest of the data.
Some of the lessons we learned. One of the things that we found was somewhat of a surprise to us is sometimes that when you're converting files from Microsoft format to open document format, there are things in there that aren't compliant with the ODF schema. That's one of the things that we found. We also found that the OpenOffice API doesn't have full access for all the content in the document. One of the examples was red lines. The OpenOffice API gives you ability to view the red lines in the document, but doesn't let you delete those. And that's one of the reasons we went with the XSLT approach. That gave us a lot more control of what we could do over the document. The negative of that is if the schema changes in the future and the API handles it, we have to revisit the style sheets that we created.
They'll have to be updated as the schema changes.
It's also, the open document format is very, very flexible, but that also makes it kind of hard to lock down. If you want to try to control the information that you're releasing by looking at the document format, it's so flexible it's kind of difficult to
always determine what's going out.
And we've already talked about these, about the hidden and overlapping objects being difficult to detect. And again, that one of the biggest things I like to stress is that by giving the users that interoperability between what they're used to and then the new technology, people are much, much more likely to adopt it. So that big lesson learned there. Okay. So where are we at present? Currently, the SecureSave application is a fully functioning prototype. We've actually successfully used it in one of our events where we hosted many different nations to come and work with us. And we used the tool to clean the documents for release for that. The server-side component is also a functioning application. So that's what we've got completed so far. The future. We're hoping to have the project adopted into OpenOffice. We'd like to put it out to the community, let people take a look at it, and hopefully people have interest in it and take it and keep running with the project. We're working with Sun right now on some of the copyright issues on that, so it's still in the works. A classification labeling wizard is something we'd like to take on in the future. Right now, we allow people to put a label on the entire document. We'd like to give them the power to actually label the individual text and images within the document. Take a look at the applications now. I want to show you what these things look like. We already looked at the, a problem document, talked about that. Here we can see some of the metadata in the document. All sorts of information you could have in there that you may not be aware of. Okay. And here's the application. So all a user would have to do would be to select their original document, where they want the process document to be written to, and then press the strip button at the bottom. Okay. You'll see that the application will pick up the file, do any conversions that it needs to, clean the document, write it out into the version that the format the user specified, and let them know when it's done. Take a look at the process file. Here you can see the images have been removed. Again, that's optional. You could uncheck that if you wanted to. But the text that was in really small font, the first circle there, now you can read it. So you can look back, you can see what's in your document. Again, the text that was blacked out, that's also readable. And you can look down, the different metadata tags have been removed. So all that information is gone. The red lines are gone as well. If you take a look at the bottom, you see that your formatting is still there. You got your bold, your different colored fonts, you have a table, So your formatting stays with your document.
Again, here's just another shot of the file properties. You can see all the metadata has been removed out of the file.
There's some things that we found that we didn't want to just remove out of the documents. We want to let users know they were there, so we generate warnings on those. Couple things in spreadsheets, conditional formatting and formulas. Conditional formatting is when you can specify the color of the text or the background in a cell based on the content. And that could make that text unreadable to you depending on what colors you have there. And also formulas. You may have proprietary information that you don't want to share out. You may just want to share, say, your final numbers on something, on a proposal that you're putting together. And you don't want to share that with the world. You don't want them to know how you got those numbers. So you need to know that there's formulas in the spreadsheets that you're releasing. We talked about dirty words. This allows people to make sure that certain words aren't in their documents. Here we got restricted and prohibited are words that we search for. We'll show you what the tool would show as a result of those. It doesn't remove those words, but if there are any present, you can go to the view and view a dirty word summary. And I'll tell you, if you process multiple files, it'll give you a list of all the files that had the words that you didn't want to release. And we talked about this process as a non-destructive one, so your original file is never changed. And one of the guarantees of that is when you process a file, we append either stripped or dirty words to the file name. That way, if you happen to put the process file in the same directory as your original file, it won't be overwritten. So if it doesn't have any dirty words in it, it appends stripped to the end of the file name. If it found dirty words, it appends dirty words. That's just kind of a visual to let you know you need to look at that file. Now the same capability as in the OpenOffice plugin. We'll take a look at that. Again, we have that original document opened up in OpenOffice. If a user wanted to clean it, they would select Secure Save and then the Secure Save menu option underneath that. And it walks them through the different steps of the process in a wizard. If you take a look at this, it looks just like all the other dialogues in Wizards and OpenOffice because we use the plug-in architecture. So it blends really nicely with the application. And you can see that first item is grayed out, works off the same configuration file as the application. So here the user can select what they want to remove from the document. Next, if they want to put a classification label on the document, they can do that. And then they have to specify the location and the file name of their process document. Once they've done that, it brings them to a final screen, lets them know that click finish and you'll process your document. Closes the original, processes it, opens the process document, lets them know that, hey, you need to review this and digitally sign it. Well, that's our presentation. That's the product we developed. I want to leave a few minutes at the end here, see if you guys had any questions, any discussions on what we've done, how we did it. So I'll open it up to you.
So you have mentioned that there are some APIs are missing currently. So do you have submit some requests for enhancements so that we can build a more complete set of API? Cover more functional areas, so we know that we have gaps, but
right. We've worked closely with Sun on this. As a matter of fact, Malti, who's here, has been a great help in this project. They really helped point us in the right direction and
helped us out a lot.
We've tended to report more bugs. If we found bugs, we report those. We haven't so much focused on what the API didn't do. And that's because with the red line, we're not being able to remove those. That was really important to us, so we went the XSLT route. So since we went that way, we weren't as dependent on the API, so we haven't submitted a lot for you know, request for enhancements of the API.
So can you say some few words how difficult or easy it was to get started with this extension stuff? And
yeah, it was kind of hard to figure it out at first because there wasn't a lot of examples out there. There's a lot of information in the OpenOffice Developer's Guide. There's a lot of information there. So sometimes it's hard to go through and find the pieces you need. I think once we got started, though, once you kind of overcome that learning curve, your speed really increases. The initial learning curve was tough, but once we got over that, it wasn't too bad. Does that answer?
Sure. And one last question. So our API is really fine-grained. You can do a lot of detailed work on functional areas. What would you say, is it helpful and useful if you have speed up the initial work later on?
Could you repeat that question, please, for us?
Yeah. I'm going to repeat it, and then let me know if I missed it.
Yeah, sure.
He was asking kind of strengths and weaknesses of the API. What did you found that it did well? Kind of what were the maybe things that could be different that would help people pick it up faster? Is that what you were?
Close. Yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Okay. What I found that the API, and especially the UNO API, did really well was controlling the application. So that I didn't find overly difficult. So if you wanted to launch the application in the background, open a file up, save it somewhere else, that was pretty straightforward. The thing that I found more difficult was when you actually start to work with the different components within the document. The thing that was very different for me, I think probably that I had to shift the way I thought about is used to a lot of object-oriented programming, so everything's objects. Whereas with the OpenOffice API, everything's interfaces. So if you're used to an object-oriented world, you got one object and you say, I can look at all the different actions I can do on that object or all the different attributes to it. Whereas the OpenOffice API is interfaces, so you have to actually cast the, if you've got a piece of a document, you have to cast it to the different interfaces to see what it has. And that was probably one of the harder things to do because it was, you weren't sure exactly which interfaces the different pieces implemented, and that was harder to come up to speed on.
So, yeah, so we have improved the UNO capabilities and probably newer APIs will benefit of this improvement, and yeah.
Any other questions?
Do you use OpenOffice for your everyday work, or is it just for the plugin? And you keep Microsoft Office for normal work?
We still use Microsoft Office for day-to-day stuff. So this is really kind of a tool to bridge capability, I guess. With the Microsoft documents, there's really no way to open them up and look at them programmatically. You can't automate looking through the document. Whereas with the open document format, you can. So we used OpenOffice Bridge to get from the Microsoft format to the open document format so we could process it. Why is that a good thing for OpenOffice? Because it gets your foot in the door. Now we've got people that are very familiar and have used OpenOffice that, you know, really hadn't heard of it before. So it's a good way to kind of introduce people to it. It gives them new functionality above what they had before, but it lets them still have that comfort level of using their old application. So we still use Microsoft on, you know, for day-to-day operations. Yes?
When it comes to scanning entire directories, does it do anything special? Does it basically bring up one file, allow you to scan it, then go to the next file, allow you to scan it?
It does the entire directory. So if you pointed at a directory with, say, two or three subdirectories and files under each one of those, it'll create a mirror of that directory structure where you ask it to put your process files, and it'll process and put those files in that structure, and it'll do it all at once. So once you point at a directory and start it, it runs through everything. You don't have to do any interaction until it's done.
Okay. And then once it's done processing, then it runs both of those same
founders. That's right. So it gives you a It consolidates what it found. So it'll give you, so if it found, say, multiple files with dirty words, it gives it all to you at one time.
Can the keys be the only words during the scan?
It does. At the end of the report, it'll give you a list of the files that it successfully processed. It'll give you a list of the files that it failed to process and the reason that they failed.
I noticed a help button on the dialog for the plugin. Mm-hmm. Did you implement any help? Or did you? And if so, how did you do that?
Okay.
And how would you want it to implement it in the
future? Okay. The help that's in there now is HTML based. And it's only available through the standalone application. We looked at using the OpenOffice help API. We just haven't gotten that done yet. But that's the way we would like to do it for the plugin, because then again, just like the dialogues look like everything else, OpenOffice has a help API, so you can make your help look like just a part of the OpenOffice help.
So currently you just call the browser, the system browser with the HTML box in it?
Actually, we bring up a dialog box with one of the Java widgets to display HTML. Anybody else? Yeah.
What happens if I process a file or a directory a second time? Are the files generated at the first run overwritten with the files generated at the second run, or do you append anything else to the file name?
So you're saying if, say you process directory one,
yes,
and put it in directory two,
yes,
and then you process directory two and put it somewhere else? Or directory one.
I process directory one again.
Okay, it would overwrite the things that you did the first time. Any other questions? Okay. Well, that concludes. I want to thank everybody again for coming. Enjoy the rest of the conference.